Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for May 28th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me, as usual, is Jim Allen. How's it going, dude?
It is going well. Yourself, sir?
Looking forward to going to Sky Treat tomorrow.
Sky Treat? What's that?
Sky Treat. Yeah, treats that fall from the sky like, what, money?
Well, actually, you know, oddly enough, I looked out the window today at my office, and you can see it from there.
Sky Tree, that is.
Yeah, it's about, gosh, it must be 15 miles away. It looks like it's in Ginza. It looks like it's just down the street. It's so gosh darn big.
Wow. Well, I'll be taking an elevator as far up as I can go tomorrow and check it out.
Okay, bring a parachute.
Thank you very much. Well, this week we've got an interview with Randy Williams of the Cebu Lions, and we're going to talk about Interleague and touch on a few other things, plus answer a great listener question. So let's start clearing the bases. All right, so on Wednesday I got to go out to Cebu Dome, talk to a few guys, including Okawari-kun, and tell him that I voted for him for MVP last year.
What did he say?
Yeah, he said, oh, thank you very much. What else could he say? He was embarrassed. He's like, you know, I should have taken that award home, and I didn't. No, he wasn't going to say that, so he just said thank you very much. I was going to talk to Nishiguchi and talk to Kishi. Yeah, I know, that's a joke. I know, it's a joke. Talk to Nishiguchi. It's like, what? Making friends with a tree.
Yeah, well, no, that's a disservice to trees.
Wow. But I did get Randy Williams, the new closer of the Lions. And
they cut cards for that or what?
I don't know. I think you just draw the short straw, I think, is what's happening now. Now, I looked at some of his numbers, you know, that he accumulated on the major league level, and he strikes out a lot of guys. His K rate per nine innings was 8.2, and that was on the major league level.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Enrique Gonzalez. I'm sorry.
Oh goodness. No, don't look there. Don't look there. So this year he appeared in 8 games and allowed 6 hits and 5 walks in 6.1 innings.
Oh, okay.
Now they need somebody to steady this ship right now. It's really, really rocking.
This is not a ship. This is a rowboat with holes.
A raft?
A raft.
A couple of logs tied together with a string?
They're lucky.
Yeah, whatever they're sailing on is pretty rickety, and Sunday was a really bad day for them. Poor Enrique Gonzalez. I don't know how long he can last. I mean, even keep that. I mean, and I've seen this happen before in Japan, but I don't know how long they can keep running that guy out there all the time. And maybe they should just get him used to Japanese baseball down on the farm first, and then call upon it. I mean. It's not a good scene.
You got a lot of that going on, so.
And we will talk about that later, but you know, like I said, Randy has a kind of high K rate, and but he also had a high walk rate, and and his WHIP was up there. But he throws around 150K here in Japan, and you know, he can throw strikes and he can execute pitches, and if he does that, he might be able to help the Lions in their late game situations.
Well, you know, some of it's going to be getting how, you know, the question is how much he's going to get used to it here and find out what works for him and what doesn't and what he needs to listen to and what he doesn't and you name it.
Yeah, well, he talked about some of those things in the interview, so let's take a listen. All right, we're here with Mr. Randy Williams, and I heard you're going to be the closer for the Lions now.
Yeah, that's what I was told yesterday. So
congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's pretty exciting. You know, they've had a lot of turnover. It's kind of been an interesting experience in the bullpen this year. So, you know, hopefully I can get it done.
It's been wild already. Now, you started out on the farm, and now you're up on the first team. How's it feeling?
You know, it feels good. I'd say that, you know, as far as my professional career goes, I've had to probably work harder to change certain things this year than I may have had to do in probably the last 10 years.
Wow, okay. What things have you had to change?
Well, you know, basically just, you know, my mechanics to the plate had to be sped up. I was, you know, pretty complacent with not holding runners, and that's just something you can't do over here. So, you know, that's what they told me early on I needed to work on, and, you know, it took me a long time to be able to incorporate, you know, being quick to the plate with maintaining, you know, the power that I like to have behind my pitches.
Is that why they started you down on the farm?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's one of the reasons. The other reason was that during spring training, the pitchers they had done a really terrific job, and you know I hadn't. So, you know, that I could say yeah that that's a reason, but the fact of the matter is there's guys that just definitely outpitched me.
Okay. Now, in terms of what you saw on the farm, in terms of starting pitching and relief pitching, what do you see for the future of this team? Because starting pitching has been an issue. I guess a lot of the bullpen guys have been an issue. There's been a lot of pitching issues for the team the whole season. What did you see down there on the farm that can help out?
You know, there's a lot of really young guys, and a lot of you know, everybody's young to me, but a lot of young guys that have a lot of talent. You know, to me, being a guy that's been around for a while, it's a lot of guys that just need to find out what they're capable of doing and how to do it successfully. So, you know, they're going through that period in their life where they're having to make the adjustments. And, you know, there's just so much talent. And you know, it's kind of exciting. You know, I haven't been around guys that young in a while. So to see, you know, a lot of those guys and what they're capable of doing and to watch them go through that, you know, it was actually made it easier for me. But, you know, there's definitely a lot of talent down there.
Anybody in particular stand out for you?
Well, a lot of those guys are here now. you know, since they moved so many guys from here to there, they had to move a lot of those guys from there to here. But, you know, with, you know, I thought Oishi was definitely a candidate to come up here. I thought he'd be starting just, you know, the way he threw the ball. But, you know, he's been a great addition up here. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's really tough. You don't want to rush a guy. And yeah, you don't want to hold a guy and keep him back whenever the team up here needs him. So, you know, it's kind of a tough situation for some of these guys being inexperienced and getting this opportunity. But, you know, when a team's having issues as we've had here this year, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for people.
Now, what did you see in Oishi? Because we've been expecting him to pitch on the first team for a while, and he just hasn't made it yet. Now he's needed, and he's up here. But what did you see from him that you like?
You know, for me, it was just a consistency. And I have to admit, you know, the way it works here, you don't actually see a lot of the game as a reliever. But whenever I did see it, and you know, seeing it on, you know, through windows and around corners, it was just consistency. You knew whenever he was going out there that, you know, you're going to have a chance to pitch in a meaningful game that day. And you know, it wasn't a thing of, you know, today he might be awesome and he might be, you know, he might just not have it. It was just a thing, you know. You knew he was going to give you some quality innings and you know, and maintain the same composure he has every day.
Now, you talked about the adjustment holding the ball. What other adjustments have you had to make with Japanese baseball as a whole?
You know, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, it's honestly, I would have never imagined that just a little idiosyncrasies could be so different. It's the same game, but, you know, everything from your treatment, pregame, conditioning, food, you know, what time you go out to the bullpen and meetings and philosophies. It's just, there's nothing that's exactly the same as it is in the States. So, you know, it's just, it's something you really have to experience to get used to and get comfortable with.
Now, in terms of attacking hitters, what can we expect to see from you?
You know, I'm gonna have to say that's probably gonna be a work in progress as well. Right now, I'm relying on the catchers a lot. I'm relying on basically a lot of fastballs and changeups. I'm hoping to, as I get more comfortable with the quick delivery, to be able to work in more breaking stuff. But it's one of those things where no matter what the scouting report is, until I get out there and face a lot of these guys, I'm not going to know what, you know, what I need to do, or, you know, it changes from year to year anywhere I go. So it's definitely going to be something that's going to evolve as I get more innings.
What pitches do you like to rely on?
To be honest, whatever's working that day. I mean, I'd say, you know, being left-handed and having a pretty good fastball, you know, that's always nice to have in the back pocket. But, you know, when the cutter's good, I use it a lot. Unfortunately, right now, it's not what I'm going to. But, you know, as long as I have the fastball and one off-speed pitch, I'm ready for battle that day.
All right, well, talking about that day. Every day, fans expect teams to win, and this team isn't winning. In fact, it's frustrating a lot of the Lions fans. What's the feeling here? Is the team starting to panic, or is it just too early to worry about that stuff?
You know, this is being my first year here. I don't know what it's typically like, but even in spring training, it's a sense of business. So, you know, I couldn't tell you what it would feel like if we were winning, but you know, it's not like I see a lot of pouting and moping around. You know, I think everybody wants to do their job and maybe do their job better, but you know, I don't really see the panic as much as I just see the desire to get here earlier, work harder, you know, do whatever it takes, which is it's definitely a positive thing, and I think it, you know, it's kind of carrying out from top to bottom. You guys just want to work harder and get it done.
All right, we'll keep working hard, and we'll see you out there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Randy. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. Appreciate it.
Hope to see you soon.
So he said something about the trend that has produced a lot of turnover in late-game situation throwers, and I'm thinking turnover is more like the manager's stomach. That's the situation that's happening there. I mean, Sunday was a prime example. They were in a close game. They couldn't hold the lead. They brought in Ricky Gonzalez in the ninth.
In the eighth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the second inning of work. And
well, the first inning was pretty bad to start with. So
yeah, so why bring him out for another one? But, oh, well, they did. And the rest is Lions losing history.
Yeah, it was something. Gonzalez, let's see. How many base runners? He allowed three in the eighth. I think he walked four. I think he walked both. In fact, he walked all. He allowed six base runners in two innings.
Yeah, he had a family of, a small family that you can feed for a month in some poor country out there on the bases. And
mind you, two of them were intentional walks, yeah. But that was because he threw a wild pitch in the ninth and one of them.
Yeah, it was.
It was a sad afternoon.
It was pretty rough. Plus, Okawari-kun nearly knocked some sense into him. Maybe I don't know, but knocked him on his butt when they were going after a sacrifice bunt, and that probably didn't help him either. But what caught your ear in the interview there?
Well, I don't know. I think the a couple of things. It's standard fare for the new pitchers. One, figuring out what their role, and two, figuring out what their role is. And for the Lions, almost, it seems like since Alex Gromon's shoulder capsule was injured about 3 years ago, they've just been sort of rolling the dice every year to see who's going to be the closer.
Right.
And, oddly enough, Alex pitched pretty well last year. The Lions are a funny team because the year nobody played well, they brought them all back. And then, I'll say Sikorsky was the guy who should have brought back, and then he didn't play well at all.
And then he got injured, yeah.
Right. They brought them all back, and Gromon pitched pretty, he pitched effectively.
Fairly well. Yeah.
Yeah, he was useful. And you think, well, this the guy's got a history in Japan, and he wants to stay here, and he seems fairly healthy, let's keep him. And no, let's dump him and Jose Fernandez, two guys who were really positive things on the team,
mm-hmm.
and bring in a bunch of unknowns. Well, you know, I guess, you know, you do have to make a, you have to take chances sometimes, but they just seem to have awful luck with their closers. And last year they had to go turn Makita, they didn't have to turn Makita into the closer.
They didn't, and I actually didn't really agree with that move, but it turned out.
Worked out well.
Well for them and well for the player too.
I understood the move because he was kind of snake bit as a starter. And, I'm surprised they haven't used him as a reliever this year because, the Wakui thing, talk about when you're lucky. I mean, I'm kind of changing the subject here, but when it comes to turnover, wow, talk about Wakui. He went from starter to reliever to outcast.
Well, yeah. And I, going there to Sabre Dome on Wednesday and talking to some of the other reporters, I got the lowdown. And all I can say is if you can go to these sleazy Japanese magazines and read them, that's where you'll find out all that stuff. I don't really care.
Right.
All I know is that they sent him down because they don't want him to be a distraction on the first team. He's not injured. He was going to be the closer for the rest of the season, and now he's not going to be. Hopefully he comes back up at some point and he can contribute and help the team win because that's what they need, and that's all we're really interested in too. But
this is worse than the normal slew of Lions midseason injuries. It's sort of like It's bizarre. This is the kind of stuff that happened the last year he tow managed. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. With Watanabe, it's been a case of, you know, things go wrong. It's okay. He fixes it. He finds a solution or, you know, he does something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he finds a player who wants a job and gives it to him and they do credibly well. Sometimes they do extremely well. And this has been his pattern. But this year, it's almost like every button he's pushed has failed. So whether it's his luck has run out or, you know, it's the karma or whatever. Anyway, so they do have this enormous turnover. It looks like a roulette wheel.
More like a Russian roulette situation because people are just blowing up all over the place. But the interesting, Randy said it was an interesting experience in the bullpen, and I contend that he hasn't been around, you know, the whole time on the first team to see how interesting it's really been because it's been terrible. And the starters, I mean, you know, you talked about some of the young guys like,
right.
He didn't mention them by name, but I think he's talking about Togame and Kikuchi and,
mm-hmm.
And Kikuchi got blasted the other day when he pitched. We had a listener write in and ask us a question about him. And right,
right
after that, he pitched and, he got smoked like a cigarette. And Togami has been inconsistent. So then we look at the bullpen and they're just grasping at straws. You can see they're bringing up guys, trying to get what they can out of them. Some guys we've seen before, some we haven't. You know, it's too bad.
And the mystery really is Oishi, because here's a guy who ostensibly, you know, he's a big gun coming out of college, and they badly need somebody with a future to step up and start that future now. And they're relying on, I mean, Hirano's okay. He pitched well today.
Okay, yeah.
But Osada's been, he's a former number one draft pick. Oh, I'm going to say back in about 2000, 2003 maybe. And he's just had an up and down. He's gone from useful to useless and then back again. And he was useful today, but he's got no future. So you just wonder what's going on with that team. And, I don't see that wheel, you know, that spin cycle stopping anytime soon. So I really hope that, Mr. Williams can, you know, cling to something and get some stability, because I don't think he's going to get it from, you know, the what passes for stability at Cebu Dome this season.
Yeah, and he joked. I mean, he's 36, and he joked that some of the younger guys that he's working with, you know, makes him, I guess, harken back to his younger days when he was a struggling minor leaguer, and that's what it seemed like. And he's looking down at these kids. I mean, I didn't see anybody on the roster who's 18. I saw a couple guys who are 19, so I guess, you know, they're about half his age. And,
yeah.
I mean, when he starts to think about those things, you know, he's got to do whatever he's got to do, whatever adjustments he has to make to have success here in Japan. Of course, today he inherited a lose-lose situation. It was a bases-loaded situation with one out. I mean, if you get the out, you still have to get the out that keeping the ball on the infield, a strikeout, a pop-up.
Well, he kept the ball in the infield.
He didn't get the out, though. He got out of the situation. I mean,
he did indeed.
He hit a bases loaded hit by pitch to end the game. So a walk off hit batter on the second pitch. I mean, he wasn't even really getting warm out there. So, like you said, he's going to rely on the catchers to get him through. And I guess they wanted to set up a pitch on the outside, and they threw inside, and he just missed with it. So he said whatever's working that day, well, that fastball got away from him, I have to say.
Yeah, well, two pitches is a tough job, and it is. I don't see anything good happening there yet. I have great admiration for what Watanabe's been able to do in the past, and his same boundless confidence with, you know, the guys he's been working with since February 1st. But, I just don't. Yeah. I mean, he does this every year. So am I surprised the Lions are playing badly? No. Am I worried that the Lions are playing badly? Yeah, a bit, but this is a team that I would not be surprised if they were challenging for a playoff spot in a couple of months.
I'm not going to be surprised either. And like you said, it's, you know, nobody's panicking. Everybody, if anything, they're working harder to get the, you know, get the,
I think the offense right. I think the offense is coming together, which is, you know, part of the, they really haven't had anything working, but the offense has been a little more consistent.
Yeah, I think since Interleague started, and I think Okawari-kun is like he's batting third right now in terms right. of batting average in Interleague play. So, and he's got a few more home runs, and he's looking a little bit better at the plate. And I did get to talk to him, and he said, well, you know, I wasn't handling the inside pitch, I wasn't handling the outside pitch, I wasn't handling the high ones or the low ones. I wasn't really doing anything. And he said he's starting to feel a little bit better at the plate and handle those pitches better. But, you know, what they need to do is get their pitchers to handle pitchers better because what is Gonzalez right now? He's got three saves, and God bless him. I don't know how he got them. I think he brought a couple with him.
That's amazing.
I mean, his ERA is over 8. This is a real mess. I don't even know. Like I said, I don't know what they can do with him to use him for setup, use him the first guy out of the bullpen in the sixth inning, because they're having trouble bridging, and then bridging to what? I mean...
Yeah, it's a walk in the plank, baby.
It's a bad scene. It's a really bad scene, and I hope they. I mean, like, there's still time, and it doesn't sound like anybody's panicking. I like to say if my team is at least within 10 games of 500, that it still has a chance. But that's April and May and June talk. So in this next month, if they can't get it up to 500. I still see this team as one reaching the playoffs. So
I think it can. Things have to stabilize, and that has been the history of this club under Watanabe. They've very rarely been pathetic in the second half. They've been pathetic in odd ways. You know, they've had big leads and they've blown them in the pennant race, you know, interleague or you name it. They found a way 2 years ago to be, you know, they need to win 2 games out of 5 and they win 1.
Yeah.
To win. Anyway, so moving on.
Yeah, well, speaking of Interleague, we'll move to that side of things. Now, the Giants became the first Central League team to start Interleague play with a 6-game winning streak.
Mm.
And which was, you know, I happened to go out and do a story and happened to talk to some Giants guys. It wasn't that I ever thought that the Giants were going to be the team that might be able to break this streak of Pacific League dominance of winning every interleague session, but that was good for them. And it's no surprise that the Giants are there with Holton and Sugiuchi, who both pitched well and won games for them recently.
Yeah, their pitching has been good. I was looking yesterday when they gave up 5 runs, and it was the first time they gave up in more than 2 runs in interleague.
They're doing well in that respect. But today they got away with murder today. And I think this was the plan all along. They started this kid.
Koyama.
They started this kid Koyama, and they only left him out there for 3 innings. And I think today was a bullpen day. I think they were going to run the bullpen out
there.
That's
what it sure looked like, because he was pitching okay. And
he was fine.
Took him out for a pinch hitter. So
yeah, and Hoshino started in what was it the instructional on
yeah,
the instructions.
He was a developmental guy.
Yeah. And he started there, and then he threw 3 perfect innings.
Indeed.
And then they went to the bullpen again, and Fukuda. I mean, these are just guys you just like, okay, you know, 1 runner on and he's out kind of guys. And they got great relief work from those guys. Then they hand the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say that this is the team that you would not have predicted this to happen in Interleague when you have all these days off.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the plan, and I don't know why. I suppose Miyaguni was starting on Sundays, I believe, and I think it was his spot, and they just decided skip him and go with these guys.
Well, whatever it is, it worked.
It worked against
for the short term, it worked.
Yeah, it worked against a good team too. I mean, those kind of things you would maybe do when you see Yokohama Bay Stars, sorry Michael, or maybe even Oryx Buffaloes, who are playing well again in interleague play. they come to life in interleague. Well, they're only 2 games over .500 after 8 games. Was this 8 games or 9 games today?
This would have been 9.
Okay, so they're 3 games over. They'd be 6-3 then.
And after having lost the first 2.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're
losing their best player.
Yeah, this is
and then losing another good player.
Who are all these people? Who was the other good player they lost?
Well, the other good player would be Takahiro Okada, although he really wasn't playing well, having been, you know, he hurt his hamstring in the middle of April, at the end of April, so he had, they were sort of, he was out there on a wing in a prayer or a band-aid or something. They were hoping that he would come back, sort of like pinch hitting, and it didn't happen, and so they finally sent him down.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, so the Interleague has been fairly interesting for a couple of reasons. That and the Yakult Swallows sudden plummet.
Yeah, what's up with your boys? I wanted to send you an email, but I didn't want to seem condescending and mean.
Oh, you don't have to be condescending and mean when you talk about the Swallows. It's they're just like, I don't know, maybe I can't say what's happened. I haven't seen it, but they haven't pitched. I mean, Tatayama hasn't pitched well. Ishikawa is kind of a second half pitcher anyway. It's hard to have an ace as a second half pitcher.
Yeah.
But
except for opening day, he was great then.
Yeah, well, that was this year. I think he ended a streak of like three consecutive losses on opening day.
Yeah, it was one day is the key.
Indeed. He was, as I recall, he was 0-5 last year to start the season. So, and they have a lot of trouble. They had some more trouble. Yoshinori Sato is going to be out for another 2 months. He had a chip fracture in his left tibia. They discovered the other day. I don't know what a chip fracture is, but I sure don't want to find out.
Well, it doesn't sound very delightful, but it also, that guy is really fragile.
Right, Muranaka's got a buggy elbow to begin with.
We got to get new nicknames for these guys, like the Glass Man. I mean, they chip and break every, you know.
Right. On top of that, they've stopped scoring runs. So,
yeah,
Millage was hitting there for a little bit, and Ballantyne was, of course, doing what he did last year, which was dominating the Central League for the first 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, he didn't start out too well, but he got on track just before Interleague started, and then it looks like, you know, somebody stole his bat. He's going up there with a toothpick.
Miyamoto was hitting, and you know, pretty much a lot of guys were hitting and things were moving along enough as long as they were getting some pitching, but the pitching is sort of dried up and the hitting is, what, four runs in eight games.
Yeah, this is a mess. And
they haven't scored two runs in a game.
I knew they were in trouble the other day when I saw Millage bunting to try to get a base hit at Cebu Dome. And, you know, they were outscored 18-0 in two games at Cebu Dome. And
yep.
We're talking about, you know, how those suffering Lions are having so much trouble in their way under their eight games under 500. And here they are slamming the door on the Swallow. So that can tell you how much of a funk they're in.
Yeah, it is bad. I don't have a clue of them. They're not scoring and they're not pitching. So, I don't really have a good feel for this lineup without Aoki in it. I'm not a big fan of Aoki's, but, you know, he has, in some ways, he's a little bit like, I can't make that comparison either. I think of him in some sense as being a little bit like Kataoka with the Lions. Aoki's a good player. Kataoka, has had one good season in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an integral part of the team.
Well, you know, it seems to me that the purpose that Aoki served with the team was they wanted to get him to the plate. In
sure.
Certain situations, you know, if we can get it around Aoki, we have a chance to put some runs on the board here. Mm-hmm. Let's try to get him an at bat in this inning if he's going to be up fourth. And that was a good purpose for him to serve because maybe he didn't get the big hit, but he kept the inning going with a walk or he got a single or an infield single. Something, he did something. He was productive with the bat.
Yeah.
And I think now they don't have a guy like that. Per se, who can get you a walk if you need a walk, get a base hit, beat out an infield hit. I mean, they have guys who can do certain things, but maybe they don't have a guy who they can rely on who can produce something that they need at a certain time. I don't know. Maybe, you know, there's no purpose. I mean, you know, they're looking at Ballantyne as a home run hitter and they want him to hit the ball out.
Oh, he's just a guy who, you know, he drives the ball and he takes pitches that he can't drive and he tries to drive the ones he can.
Yeah.
And so he's one of these guys that will frustrate a lot of Japanese managers. because he'll take a lot of pitches
yeah.
and swing at bad ones yeah. sometimes. So that's anyway,
this year.
So well, any, yeah, so that's been kind of a surprise. The another surprise is the Eagles have played fairly well. The Eagles are sort of surpassing the Hawks as one of the interleague powerhouses here.
Yeah, they won again tonight. Of course, they beat the Swallows. So I don't know how much you're gonna.
Yeah,
how much stock you can put in that victory. But,
well, that's true.
But they are playing fairly well, and they're still pitching well. And we know that Masahiro Tanaka, their ace,
right.
joined the first team for practices and is expected to pitch soon. So we know yeah. they're going to get him back. In the meantime, rookie, this kid was 18 years old.
Yep.
Won for him today, and...
Yeah, he was okay.
Guys are crawling out of the woodwork to win games, and Aoyama saved another one. That's 9. He's going to match his career total with 3 more saves, his previous career total previous to this season. So, I mean, things are really going right for that team. And yet, I think they're still, just 2 games over 500 in interleague play. So, I mean, it's not like they're dominating. They're not up at the top.
Well, to be honest, who really cares whether a team wins an interleague or not, other than how it affects them in the standings.
Because it's cool, man. It's just cool.
I'm sorry. I forgot that.
Plus, I don't know about it being the Giants, but I really want to see a Central League team win. I'm kind of tired of Pacific League winning every year. So if it is the Giants, so be it. Let's change it up. Let's get some new blood out there. I want to see that happen. So let's move along.
We've seen a lot of new blood, but most of it's been on the field.
Yeah, I was going to say.
and a lot of it matched the team's uniform.
Yikes. All right, moving right along. Let's go to a guy who's had to peel that uniform off is our milestone man, Mr. Hiroki Kokubo of the SoftBank Hawks. Now, he's on the precipice of 2,000 hits.
Precipice?
Well, mostly.
The precipice? The break?
Mostly. He's got a bad back, and I had written the other day, I said, well, he got the hit, because I was expecting him to get the hit, and I wrote, well, he's got a bad back, and he's playing through it, and he got his 2,000 hit, and they'll probably deactivate him, blah, 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 and they just deactivated him before then, and well, I don't know.
Well, if you saw him strike out.
We struck out 3 times in the game.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed.
It makes sense.
That's probably, I think in Japan, you strike out 3 times in a game, you can have, If you give a manager a choice, broken leg or 3 strikeouts, which one's going to get you deactivated first? And I'd lay odds it would be the 3 strikeouts.
Well, if you hit 3 strikeouts, you got 3 strikeouts and you hit the ball to the warning track, does that give you any points?
No.
You got to hit it out?
No, if you had a blooper, that would have been better. Bloop single, because that's the result. So like
okay, well, all right. Well, so we'll see him when he gets back. Good luck in getting healthy, Mr. Kokubo. We are waiting.
They're saying that it could be soon that he could be back. Of course, that means within 10 days. And the problem was a herniated disc.
Mm.
Now, if that sounds familiar or not, that's what Jojima had surgery for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know surgery. I'm sorry. Herniated discs never sound good.
Well, no, because you can't pronounce them properly as one. I mean, you can't just walk through and say, "I noticed a herniated disc."
Oh man!
You can't say it with a straight face.
I'm not going anywhere with that one. I'm putting it down, putting my hands up, and walking away from the table.
Good.
I'm not going to take the bait.
Leave me with the devil's workshop here. Okay. Anyway, so Jojima had the herniated disc, and he had surgery, and he's going to be out for another couple of months, although we don't know if the symptoms are the same or not. I mean, they didn't think Jojima was that serious either, so we'll see. But Kokubo has, he's had an up-and-down career, and it's sort of no surprise. It's almost like, this guy, it's no surprise that there wasn't at least this much drama in his pursuit of 2,000 hits.
Well,
at least he hasn't been arrested or anything. So.
I remember Tomoaki Kanemoto of Hanshin took a while to get to his 2,000th hit. And I for those listeners who can speak Japanese and know it's the Meikyukai, which is the Golden Players Club. Mm-hmm. When they wrote it in one of the newspapers, they wrote the kanji for... I guess lost, Mei as Mei Kyukai, and they wrote it as lost because he took so long to get there that they thought maybe he was had lost his way. So maybe we'll see that headline pop up again for Mr. Kokubo. I don't know, but good luck to him getting back.
Okay. Yeah. So speaking of Kanemoto, he passed Kazuyoshi Tatsunami, and he's now in seventh place all by his lonesome. Kanemoto is on the all-time hit list.
Right.
He's got about 100-plus to go to pass Yutaka Fukumoto and Asachi Okinugasa. So,
what was that, 2,480? Was
2,480. He tied
Tatsunami.
And then he had two doubles the next day. I think he's gonna have a tough time passing Tatsunami on the doubles list. Tatsunami's the all time leader, but Kanemoto,
yes,
I think fourth on the list. But I think he's got about 100. I think he's probably 40 or 50 shy, and it's gonna be a tough slog.
Yeah, especially with his body in the condition that it is.
He's
not exactly 100% healthy.
He's not 100% healthy, but he's 100% on the field. You know, that's never doubt that.
Never, not at all. All right, well, there's something else that we can't doubt, and that's the fact that in the Central League, there have been a lot of late-inning bullpen problems.
I doubt that.
No, you don't. You said it with a straight face, but, I'm making it crooked. I'll reach through here and through cyberspace and make that face crooked.
Me, do you? Okay. All right. Make your argument.
Early on, I was complaining, I guess early on. Seems a couple podcasts ago, I was saying that there weren't runs wrong. And of course.
Yes, this occurred to me. I remember you being.
Well, I knew you would bring it up, so yeah. I decided to shoot myself before you could do it.
Because
I'd rather have my own bullets in me than yours.
This is fun enough. Reading this, and I'm thinking, Don wants to talk about the bullpen. When, wait a second, wasn't it 2 weeks ago you were talking about nobody coming back? That all the games were over as soon as a run was scored in the late inning.
Yeah, I'm so glad we record a podcast. I got that forever stored on iTunes.
Mistakes, it means we're dead.
Well, you know, as soon as I start complaining, you know, it was the next day that we had a team come out and come back for four runs. Sorry, Michael, in Tokorozawa. But anyway, the Bay Stars. Looking around at some of the CL bullpens, I don't think they're in the best. Well, they're not doing what they did last year. The numbers are not there. We're blowing saves all over the place. Yokohama, enough said. I mean, Yamaguchi is a walking heart attack. Just add ball. And the other guys just come in and make a mess. And, you know, it's hit or miss. The manager, Nakahata, has to guess and see who can get one or two outs. But I don't think he can count on guys to be consistent. And that's a problem. And they just don't have the arms out there. I'm not even going to spend a lot of time talking about them.
Okay.
The Dragons, who made me think of this too because of Asao, who's just been
The obvious one.
And I saw some numbers the other day that the Dragons have allowed their scores by innings,
right,
for this season have allowed 23 runs in the first inning, but the next inning for runs allowed is 19 in the eighth.
Okay.
And they've also allowed 11 runs in the ninth. And that's a lot. Now, you know, Hitoki Iwase, the all-time saves leader, has 19 saves, and it looks like he's on pace for 40. And obviously his pitching has been declining in the past couple of years. I mean, he doesn't have the same stuff. He doesn't have the same velocity. He doesn't have the same movement, but he's still locating some pitches good enough to get saved. I mean, let's look at it honestly. Even if he's allowing a 300 opponent's batting average, which he's not, even if he is, that's success for the batters only 3 out of 10 times. So he can come up with some saves.
Sure. And it's actually less than that because basically to get a run, you need 3 hits, or 3 guys on base, which is if you've got a, let's say you've got a 300 batting average, you need 0.3 times 0.3 times 0.3, and you have a little variation in there, but it's not a 30% chance. It's better than a 30% chance.
Well, unless you're giving up home runs like he has on occasion, so.
Well, people give up. I mean, even in, you know.
Well, then you only need one hit to get around.
True enough.
But I mean, he hasn't done that.
The point I want to make is that when you have the question of what to do in the bullpen is always who to use and who's good enough. And the fact is, you know, there are days when people aren't good enough, but the pattern for a good reliever is to get hammered now and then and just be himself, be what he's, you know, capable of. Good pitchers get hammered sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, who was it? Alonzo Powell always said to me, hey, look, pitchers make mistakes. And if they throw the ball over the plate, it doesn't matter, you know, how good they are. If they're throwing it over the plate, sometimes it's going to get hit.
Right. Did he go on and say that if they didn't make mistakes, he wouldn't have had a job?
You've said that before. You keep picking on them. But
I would not. I would not. I only pick on the one where he said that.
If
all the line drives
evened out.
Yeah, if all his line drives fell in, he'd be.
He'd still be playing. No. If the bloopers evened out with the line drives, he'd still be playing.
Okay, something to that effect. Well, Alonzo, we love you.
Doesn't sound like love right there. Doesn't sound like love.
Yeah. Well.
So. Anyway, getting back to the story, I think I look at the Swallows, I look at the Tigers, and I really like their bullpens.
You like about the Swallows bullpen right now, let me ask you.
I just think that they have... when Kyoko comes back, it'll be better. But Hirai has given them some good innings. Oshimoto, Masabuchi, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and Barnett has been lights out.
Oshimoto, how come... I guess I'm going to suffer from the disease of every time I watch him pitch, I want to close my eyes.
Well, part of it is because it takes him 2 minutes between every pitch. So you could close your eyes, wake up, and he still has to throw a pitch.
Okay. Barnett has been very good. It's just hard, for me, it's hard to imagine. I'm blinded by the Swallows. It's hard to me to think of the Swallows as being good without Lim.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that, you know, they've put together a bunch of late inning situations where they've closed out games, and nobody's talking about the fact that Lim is still not there.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
So more power to him.
And I think if he comes back and adds to that mix, that they can really shorten some games and play games to situations. So I like their bullpen the best. I like Hanshin, Fujikawa is doing well. I mean, his whip is under one. He's like 8.88, and he's striking out guys like usual, and guys like, Enokita and Tsuru,
right,
and Tsutsui. They have some really nice arms out there in late game situations.
Yeah, I like Enokita. I like him more than I liked him last year. And they've got guys who, what happened to Kubota? Is he still alive?
I don't know. He's probably in a donut shop somewhere.
That's mean.
He's a big pig. All he could ever do was throw hard.
He says he's got no neck, you know,
And they're not missing him for sure.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, they do have a bullpen. They have a tradition of bullpens. I think I'm not really concerned with them. I mean, the question is really the Giants. I mean, the Giants have done quite well for a team where another team, which doesn't have its designated closer.
Well, it had a designated closer and then decided, when I did the interview with him, I talked to some of the reporters and I said, is he going to be the closer for the rest of the season? And they said, no.
You mean Matheson?
Matheson, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, why not? And they said, And the reporter, you know how they like to do, he pointed to his heart. He says he doesn't have the, the moxie. He's not out there with that killer instinct on the mound in the ninth inning, so they probably leave him in the setup role.
They want somebody with killer instinct. Mark Kroon's probably still looking for a job.
Well, yeah, but that's a different kind of kill he's going for.
No. He's got it mentally. He's got it all up there.
Yeah.
You know, he loves that job, but his problem isn't whether that he wants to be out there and full of vim and vigor and, that's good as long as you can get people out.
Yeah.
If you can't get people out, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter how much energy you have, how much guts you have if you can't get people out.
So, Kubo was the guy who they had named the closer at camp, and he's going to be injured and probably miss most, if not all, of it. He's out for the season. So with that, Nishimura, the guy, I think he's fine in June, July, and August. I would like to see him if they're in a pennant race or if they're in a situation where they need, to win to get into the playoffs or something. I don't know if I trust that guy, but they'll be working, this bullpen situation for the whole season. I just can't see it staying stable. And that's why I didn't, but they have good arms out there.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
And Yamaguchi is good and Nishimura has been fine. I think the issue with the Giants tends to be a little bit of a late season collapse. They're still labored on, I don't know, they seem to overwork more than most teams.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to that late season consistency from them. So, so that leaves us
with one more team, and that's the Hiroshima Carp, and that brings us to our question this week. So let's go ahead and do fielding questions.
Go, Anthony.
Hi, this is Anthony from Melbourne here. I would like to know your opinion of Kenshiro Nomura's brain explosions regarding his bullpen. And what would you do to remedy the problem? Maybe promote Fukui and put him in the bullpen? Maybe Shinoda? Or what else would you do? Anyway, I'm looking forward to your answer. Thank you.
All right, Anthony, thank you very much for that great question.
Indeed.
And for the MP3. And so we will go to the Carp. Now, today there was another blow-up, Dennis Sarfati. You know, I'm looking at him as he doesn't seem like he's injured. He didn't look like he was injured. He didn't look like a guy who's, laboring in his delivery. But his pitches to me, just like Asao of the Chunichi Dragons, look like a little flat, and they look like they lack the movement that he had last season. And he made a bases loaded mess, gave up a couple runs, and had to leave the mound. And of all people to bring in, it's our whipping boy Takeru Imamura they brought in to try to extract him from this mess that he made. I think it was one out and bases loaded, and Imamura tries to pick the runner off a second and throws a wild pitch to second base, and that lets in a run. And then...
So you thought it was throwing to home plate.
Yeah. He's supposed to, if I miss this way, yes. I, and so then he gets a strikeout, and then an infield single to allow the tying run to score. So this is the second time in about 8 days that a team has come back from four run deficit to end up with this time it was the Fighters last time. This time,
well, it was a,
and,
it was,
and they won 5-4.
Well, it was a 3-run deficit in the ninth tonight, and it was a 4-run deficit.
That's right.
May 20th, and right. Both times at home, and both times Sarfate started, did most of the damage.
Well, Sarfate did most of the, actually it was reversed. Imamura came on and gave up a couple hits, and then they,
correct.
And
okay,
then they
correct.
Gave him up, and then Sarfate couldn't put the fire out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So they sort of switched roles today. We got a tag team going on. Now.
Well, to answer his question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't think putting Fukui in the bullpen is a solution, and I don't think that's a promotion either. He's a starter. It's his second season. He's going to be a guy who eats up a lot of innings for you in the future, and I don't think the bullpen is the place for him, even though he might not be getting things right at the moment. I'd rather have him work it out there. Unless he's really terrible, I would keep him in the starting lineup.
And, yeah, well, he's got quality, so that's I'm not a big fan of this idea of let's move him to the bullpen. Because he's terrible.
Yeah.
So
bullpen banishment, that never fixes anything.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons people switch, and give a change of scenery. I think that was the case with the Kazuhisa Makita last year. Watanabe just wanted to give him a change his environment from one where he was starting and not getting any run support.
Right.
So, that could be the case. Now, if it were a case that he was just pitching in bad luck, yeah, that might be worth it. And the Carpets certainly have a long history of taking star ace pitchers and turning them into ace relievers. But I don't think that's really the problem. I think the problem is that no, and I don't even think it's Kenjiro Nomura's fault to be that. I think he obviously sees something in Imamura. And I'll tell you, the reason I was surprised that Imamura's runs, he allowed that many runs because the first two or three times I saw him, he had really good stuff, and he looked really deadly. But what the problem is, he's so inconsistent. And I can understand why Nomura expects him to be a good pitcher, but I can't understand why you throw somebody you expect to be a good pitcher in a situation where you need a good pitcher.
Yeah, he's good pitch, bad pitch, just like good cop, bad cop. I mean, he throws one good one and one bad one. It doesn't always get hit, but
well, he needs to be
more consistent.
He needs to learn a little more of the things he needs to do to be consistent and do that. But the time for that trial is in the sixth inning when you've got a few runs to you use him as much, give him as much work, consistent work as you can in situations where he can help, but he's not going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, we talked earlier, I bashed him a few episodes back saying he's a run factory. His ERA in this ball controlled environment is 3.5 almost, and it's not getting better. And like you said, perhaps it's a control thing, but maybe it's things that he needs to learn, but I'm saying he's not doing it and don't use him, especially in a game that you're winning or want to win. And this is why I'm bashing on Nomura as being the problem, because last week when they had that 4-run lead against the Fighters, he put Imamura out there at the beginning of the inning when it should have been Sarfate. And that was a win that they had. And
runs, I think you can't, you have to, you do have to harbor your resources.
Well, they don't get a lot of wins. So they really need to take the games that they're in the lead by 4 runs and slam the door and go home.
And they were also looking at a stretch. I think there are a number of issues, and I don't want to be too critical of things I don't know. I mean, that hasn't cut much ice with my love affair with Kenjiro Nomura in the past, although I do like him personally, and I have a lot of respect for him as an individual. His managerial choices have been difficult to understand. He last year he was giving, we talked about the issue of who was losing and who was gaining in innings last year. And it was the guys basically who relied on mediocre fastballs were all losing their innings. And it's like every team you look, these were the guys who were getting fewer and fewer innings, except for the Hiroshima Carp.
Well, I'm not afraid to bash on him. I would say he cost them that game. I would say he made the mistake last year with the lineup when Interleague was going on, when they played Oryx, and he goofed up the lineup. The game that I went to this year against the Giants at Tokyo Dome, I think was May 3rd, and Otake was the starter, and they got to the third inning, and they had chances, they had a chance to score runs. So he pinch hits for Otake, and he already knows that this bullpen is struggling. Now they got the runs. They got the 2 runs and took the lead. But what's the point of getting those 2 runs when you're going to use your bullpen and give up even more later on? And that's what happened. They gave up more runs than they scored. They lost the game. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, I do hate to see it happen, but he has the Carp. They're such a hard team. They have tremendous fans, and they have a real messed up ownership situation. They have
the fewest runs in the Central League.
Again, this is no surprise. The Carp really haven't had the Carp have not had a good offense They have not had a good offense in 20 years.
Yeah. They have lowest batting average, and they give up the second most runs.
I say 20 years. Let's say 10 years. But yeah, it's probably 10. More. It's more like 15. The last time they had a good offense, Nomura was their best player.
Well, I say he's made a couple of mistakes this year, and probably that I know of, probably more that are fireable offenses, in my opinion.
Fireable offenses.
You're not even getting that many victories in the first place. Two already that you cost your team. Now, I don't know if he's helping them win any, because I don't get to see any every game.
Well, that's the thing. And right now the Carp are really in trouble because it's like everything's going wrong for them. They can't catch the ball. Now, I think this is part of the pitching, too, because I think the pitchers are going out there. And, you know, they've got all these good fielders. Well, let's say in the outfield, Tsuyogi reportedly is a good fielder.
Yeah.
Higashide had been a good fielder.
And Higashide, if I can just interject just a second, the tying infield single today in the ninth inning, Higashide came in from second base, and if he just would have met the ball at the bag, he could have stepped on the bag for the third out. And he charged the ball and was going to try to throw to first and didn't have time. I mean, you're right. They're not using their brains out there.
They're not
thinking through their...
Well, I think there's a panic situation. All I can think of is that there's a panic situation going on. So many things are going so badly so quickly that nobody knows which way's up. You know, the pitchers may have lost a little bit of... You know, to be a pitcher... To be successful, you need to have confidence that your guys are going to catch, you know, are going to catch the routine plays. And the Carp have been botching the routine plays, and that doesn't help. So the pitchers will press more. I think everybody's pressing. Kurihara's gone. They think he's a big run maker. I mean, he's really not a big run maker early in the season. He usually is pretty mediocre the first couple of months. But he's gone for good. They're clutching. They're struggling. Everybody's struggling. And I think that's the problem. I think it's less of a talent issue as more of a morale and confidence issue.
Yeah, in some respects, I think I agree with that. In some respects, I mean, you bring Egusa in from the bullpen. You bring in guys like Imamura. Mikolajo has been okay. I mean, you know, his whip is less than one, but his ERA is over three. You know, he's more hit than miss, which is what you need. Guys like Shinoda, I don't know why he's not having similar numbers to last year, but maybe he'll come around.
I never figured it. There's another guy, tremendous, inconsistent, tremendous stuff, and who makes too many ordinary pitches half the time.
Yeah. But I was thinking that if they were going to take somebody out of the rotation, because they had starting pitching last year, and I think Saito came back, they have Fukui, Bullington, they have Nomura, they have Maeda. I think they have five guys they can go with. I would put Otake in the bullpen right now.
Maybe something. Try something.
Try something. If your closer's got problems, you can flip him. You know, get him out there. If he's not injured. I'm not so sure that Sarfati is 100% healthy, but
yeah, you did have to wonder about that because he's been awfully hittable.
Well, yeah, and I saw his pitches today, and like I said, they weren't moving. They were just fast, and he threw a lot of four seamers. It just, you know, he's like, here it is. If you hit it, good. And then anything else that he was trying to throw that wasn't a fastball was bouncing up there. They were obvious balls. So I mean, he didn't look good at all. But I don't know. The Carp, they're, what are they? 8, 10? 10 games under 500.
Write them off.
Steadily falling. They need something to turn them around. I'm not going to write them off yet.
I'm just joking.
It's just me. I mean, geez. They're better than the DeNA guys at the moment.
Wow.
And they're only 4 wins behind Yakult, if you can believe that.
No, it's easy to believe. Swallows have been playing terrible.
But yeah, that's what happens when you lose 8 in a row.
Sure, sure, sure.
But they could just as easily win 8 in a row, or maybe 10.
No, they can't. But
not just as easily, but they could.
Yeah, it's possible, I suppose.
They could. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Anthony. I hope we got to everything in your question. If we didn't, just send us another MP3.
Sure, indeed.
And yell at us.
Good to hear from down under.
Exactly. you know, the accent is awesome.
Sound like any Anthony's you know?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, so just like Anthony, you can send us an MP3 file and ask us a question. Just send us a comment to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Or you can check us out on our Facebook page.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
And we'll see you next week. Enjoy your baseball.